It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 668. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow. And Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. And you can visit instanthousecall.com to get your free trial. Don't forget the promo code. Tonight's show, the topic changed because of an article Ken sent me, and I will put the link in the show notes. It's about the company Evernote, and it's in a death spiral. I'm going to read that article, and we're going to talk about Evernote and possible alternatives. It's one of my favorite programs to use for note-taking that I use for my company. And I'm going to deep dive into this tonight. Then I have a couple tips that I want to discuss that I've had to implement this week. And only a couple emails. Let's kick it off from TechSpot. Evernote lays off 15% of the workforce following reports that it's in a death spiral. It might also face a funding shortage. And this was published September 19th. What just happened? Evernote, the once popular productivity app used for note-taking and organizing, is reportedly facing more problems. Following the departure of several senior executives last month, the company has now laid off 54 staff, equivalent to 15% of the firm's workforce. The news comes from TechCrunch, which states that CEO Chris O'Neill, who had been running the business operations at the Google X research unit until 2015, told staff that the company had no choice but to make the cuts. The move is described in a note as an extremely difficult decision and one that we did not take lightly. O'Neill said the company is now focusing its efforts on product development and engineering. The revelations follow a report last month in which an unnamed source described Evernote as a company in a death spiral. This came after the departure of CTO Erban Kundu, CFO Vincent Toolan, and CPO Eric Warble, and head of HR Michelle Wagner. While it did confirm the moves, the firm never said why the execs decided to leave. Additionally, for the second time in 2018, Evernote reduces its premium subscription price from $70 to $42 as part of a limited time offer, a way of encouraging new signups. I'm going to stop there. There's a little more to the article that you can read. I've always had this problem with great software that doesn't charge money. Now, only recently, in the past 2 years, has Evernote started really charging for multiple devices. And I gladly pay that $70. I have no problem because this, since 2004, when this software was first announced and I came across it, I have been using it, talking about it, recommending it. It's the main note taking software for all of my clients, for my company, my consulting company, MHS Consulting. I live in Evernote. It's one of the few programs, as I started searching for alternatives, and we're going to talk about that, It's one of the few programs that is cross-platform. You can take notes, easily create notebooks, drag and drop. It's easy to search, and it does something that's amazing. If you take a picture and there's text in the picture, it can search the text in a picture. If I had a shirt that said the Mike Tech Show, and I took a picture and I put it into Evernote, if I searched for Mike Tech Show, it would read the text on my shirt in the picture and list that as one of the notes that it found from the search. It can do web clipping, which I live on for managing my content for the Mike Tech Show. I could be on my iPad or I could be on something else and I come across a great tip or a great article. Maybe I'm researching a problem for a client and I can easily clip that article to the next Mike Tech Show notes. One of the things that I want to talk about is what alternatives do we have? Now, they haven't went under yet, but we take this as a warning sign that I want to start looking for alternatives that I can possibly start testing and trying it out. One of the big shortcomings of Evernote is the lack of exporting features. You can export to an HTML, you know, a directory where all the content is HTML files, and then look for something to then take that HTML and convert it into another program. It's going to be a lot of work. Evernote is sort of almost a closed system in the sense that it doesn't play well with others. And this is going to make it difficult from extracting the thousands of notes that I have and how they're organized and tagged, and then getting them out of Evernote properly where I can get them into another program. Anybody that is faced with this, I want your recommendations. Maybe you don't use Evernote and you've looked at it and you found something better. I'm going to give you my requirements. The note-taking software has to work on Windows, Mac, iOS, and Android. If it doesn't have an Android app, I'm okay with that because I have an iPhone and an iPad, but I'd really like to see that it had an Android. So anybody that's working with me and I want to share the note and they have an Android, I can easily do that. An example, my son Michael Jr. has an iPhone, but Ken, who works for me, has an Android. So I want to be able to play cross-platform. The note-taking software has to work. It cannot just be web-based. When you Google Evernote alternatives, there's lots of recommendations out there. But when you go to the fine notes of how they work and whether they're cross-platform or not, a lot of them are either strictly Windows-based, strictly web-based, or strictly Mac. Very few go across everything. At the top of every list is OneNote. I tried OneNote a few years ago when I got my first Surface Pro, and it just didn't take with me. I didn't like it, and I went right back to Evernote. So I haven't given OneNote the due diligence that I may have to give now because it's literally at the top of every list when you start searching. OneNote is from Microsoft, part of the Microsoft suite, and I'm not feeling it, but I may have to give it another try. There is one that I am going to seriously look at called SimpleNote. But as I look and I downloaded it right before the show, it works on iOS, Android, Mac, Windows, Linux, and the web. Whoa, pretty good. It's got some limitations. Does not do graphics. It is strictly ASCII text. That's it. Box Notes is another one. I forget why I eliminated Box Notes. Corey Man in the chat just put, I've seen lists of lots of them. And what I would like everybody to do, if you are using a competitor where you've looked at competitors to Evernote, give me a little review. Send me an email. Maybe record an MP3 file. Tim uses Google Keep mostly. I seen that recommended. I want to collect the best of the best of note-taking software. If it's free, great, but it doesn't have to be free. programs that make an impact that I use regularly, I gladly pay for. Evernote, I have a number in my head, and it's much higher than $70 a year that I would pay. If Evernote needs to raise their price in order to stay in business, I'm okay with that because that's how much I use it. And it can't just be web-based. And this is the problem, I think, with Google Keep. I could be on site where they have an internet problem and I may not have access to the cloud and web access, and I may need to look up critical information on my iPhone. So the information has to be stored in an app on the phone. So it can't just be web-based, because what if I don't have internet and I got to pull up critical information? And that's why I like, or I have my laptop with me and I have the full desktop app with the database as of the last sync fully on the laptop, so I can then log in and get that information with absolutely no internet. Now, this is a requirement for me that I'm sharing. Not everybody works that way. I have a sub notebook for every single client. And in there, I keep all of the information for each of the clients. I got screenshots of firewall settings, so I'm kind of worried about Simple Note with no graphics. I was excited about that when I seen it, and I figured, oh, that's okay with the limitation, until I started looking at all my notes, and I'm like, oh my. I mean, I have spreadsheets. There are things that I resell where the licenses are in spreadsheets, and that's how I update and keep track of it. I have password-protected spreadsheets with passwords in them. I have so much detail. When I solve a problem for a client, the solution becomes a note in Evernote. So it's sort of the MHS consulting knowledge base. We take this as a warning that if we're so committed to a program and now the company is experiencing troubles and could go out of business, we're not saying it's definitely going out, but it could. It brings up that we need backups and alternative solutions for mission critical apps that you use for your business. I consider Evernote a mission critical app for me, even though it's just simple note taking. This is how I store and pull up all of my information. So with that in mind, what are possible alternatives? Maybe it's finally implementing that ticketing system that I can access everything from my iPhone and Windows and Mac. Ability to do handwriting and let it keep isn't important. And that's something that you can do with OneNote, you can do with Evernote. It's got to be the cross-platform. Obviously, it's got to have the web to be able to log in case I don't have any of the apps, but I have internet and a browser. I got to be able to log in. And I've had those situations. And it's got to be able to work very simple, fast, efficient. I'm not going to say I don't care about the price, but I'd pay up to a couple hundred a year for something like this. So if you have alternatives, if you have anything that you want to get into the mix for the discussion as an alternative to Evernote, email me, miketechshow@gmail.com. So this way I can start taking a look. It won't be next week, but in a couple weeks, I will collect as much information as I can and do a show on the recommendations. So I want this to get out there and give it a few weeks to percolate with all of you that are listening to the show, and then hit me up with reviews, information. I'd be long-winded. I don't care. Just emails. If you want to leave a voicemail on Skype, whatever it takes. And I really appreciate it. And I know a lot of you are going to be disturbed from this information because you're using Evernote, and you might be using it because you heard it here on the Mike Tech Show. I've done shows dedicated in the years ago in using Evernote. I was using it when I was in the corporate world before I even started podcasting. I started podcasting in 2005. I found Evernote in 2004. So I did an early show on Evernote. And then as it started evolving and they started acquiring companies to add more features, I was like, that was great. And it was free for a long time, which brings up companies that offer a service for free. I know the open source model and things that there are ways to make money, but I think Evernote from the beginning, they had different funding rounds, but there was no real revenue. The little ads you would get, I don't think was generating enough money to operate the business and as big as Evernote started getting. I'm worried about programs that are just strictly free and I'm using them for my business. I don't see the business model on how they're going to survive. I'm less likely to go to where it's all free. Now, you got a company like Microsoft standing behind OneNote. I get it. I don't like the interface of OneNote. So I may have to get over some of my initial interface objections and start to suck it up and start using it. Certainly, OneNote's going to be one of the programs I am going to give serious consideration to. And then, of course, any recommendations that you have, hit me up with it. Let's move on to some other things right now. I have a link on how to change your account access for less secure apps. This is Gmail. Twice this week, I ran into clients that want to use Outlook for their Gmail. Google considers Outlook a less secure app. And because of that, by default, your Gmail account will block the usage of Outlook to get your Gmail. You have to go in to the security settings and move a button, a radio button, that allows less secure apps to access your email account. There's pros and cons to this. I get it. I know how they're trying to make it more secure and safer for us. I agree with that. But Outlook is one of the most popular email clients in the world. So to limit the ability to use Outlook, it's pretty difficult. I had to instruct two clients this week on accessing that. So it's a quick little article from Google on how to do that. So I'm adding that show notes for tonight. Before the show, I was talking about how I'm recording this on Thursday night, and I've already lined up lots of appointments for Friday remotely to help some clients, and also on Monday, lots of follow-ups. And an interesting discussion I'm going to have tomorrow afternoon with a new client that works from home for his home business, and he currently has an old iMac, but there's no reason to keep him on the Mac. And he's looking for a new computer. And one of the discussions we're going to have tomorrow is that old Windows versus OS X. And I need to query him on what else is he doing and what apps are on his current Mac and how committed is he into that. I think he's Office 365, so that makes it pretty easy. That's a no-brainer. He's not afraid of Windows. He just happened to have a Mac. So he's not an Apple zealous where he could only sees Mac. He has an open mind into Windows, and we're going to have that discussion. And it really comes down to applications and what ecosystem does he want to be in. I have to find out what phone does he have? How does he want to sync? How does he want to operate his calendar, his contacts? And once we go through all those questions and I get a feel for what he needs, and then I'll make the proper recommendation. I just thought that was interesting. I haven't had that discussion with anyone for a long time of, you know, Mac versus PC. I'm going to have that tomorrow afternoon. Speaking of Office 365, those of you who subscribe, did you notice you got an email where October 2nd, they are adding more capability where you can have it on 10 devices, not 5. If you have Office 365, I think it's 365 home or personal, I'm not sure. It might be home. You can now have, I think you could share it with 6 other people and have it across 10 devices. I'm looking forward to that because I've already maxed out my 5. Having it 10, I mean, I have more than 5 devices. As a matter of fact, that's kind of funny. Evernote tracks how many devices that you've used for logging in. And when I tell you, I use Evernote across 19 different devices. Yeah, I did not misspeak that. 19 devices. That gives you an idea of how many tablets, phones, and computers that I use. I mean, I'm looking at four computers right here in front of me. It's amazing how many I use. It's insane. Hearing that when they first announced that if you're using more than two devices, you have to pay, I'm like, hey, no problem. So how many devices can I put Office 365 on? And my main system, just full disclosure here, when I have to pick a version of Office for the main system that I use most of the time, and that's the computer I'm looking at right now where I'm doing this show, my choice is Office 2010. When they stop supporting and updating that, I'm going to be very sad because I don't like 2013. Office 2016, which they call Office 365, it's okay. Outlook has tremendous problems constantly with the updates. I'm not happy with Outlook 2016. In October, the rumor is that there will be Office 2019. They're really gearing up here, and I believe it's only going to be available via Office 365 in the subscription model. There'll be no separate desktop version sold. That has stopped with Office 2016. So it's only the subscription model, and I'm looking forward to that. That will be the first install on my test machine, so I will put it through its paces right away. I don't have time to get involved in the beta or trial for Office 2019. I even stopped doing that for Windows 10. I just didn't have the time to dedicate it and didn't want to be put through the annoyance of the things they make you do when you're part of those programs. And sometimes you have to take updates no matter what. You're not allowed to pause or deny them at all. I had these massive reboots and things early on in the developer edition of Windows 10 where I would be going through these painful reboots, including one that just didn't work because, you know, hey, it is beta. So you're going to run into problems. So even my test machine, it was frustrating. And I didn't want to put my test machine through that anymore, so I got out of that program. Well, because I haven't been doing that with Office, I don't know if the new feature's coming and what's going on. I will embrace 2019 because of so many problems with Outlook 2016. I'm hoping they're finally getting this right. I can hope. Great question in the chat. Do I want Windows to go to subscription too? No. I think that's a big mistake. But Microsoft can easily drop the hammer and generate so much more revenue by Windows going to a subscription model. They don't deserve to go to a subscription model because of the problem with their updates, because of the problem with so many issues that we are living through. The hell that Microsoft puts us through with Windows 10. I don't think they're in a position right now to pull the trigger and go to a subscription model. I know they want to. There's been a lot of rumors to that. But I don't think Windows 10 is stable and mature enough for them to be able to be allowed to do that in a subscription model. And what about people? I got computers that don't have internet access with companies still, because they're in the middle of a room where they don't want anybody to have internet access, and they're in a room where maybe it's just for inventory. And they're not many, but there are systems where a subscription model is not going to work. Question is, what about for corporate Office 2019? We use Microsoft volume licensing. That's a great question. What are they going to do for volume license, and how are they going to work that in with this model of only subscription basis? They're going to have an enterprise version on a subscription license. They're going to have to if they're doing that. Or they're going to release the traditional software for the desktop for 2019 just for corporations. It's possible. So great question. And I don't have the answer to that. And I guess we're going to see that in October. I have one email from Greg. His subject line, Rogue Killer, not a miracle cure. I spoke very highly of Rogue Killer. And by the way, Rogue Killer again last night found a couple real ugly things that were put on someone's computer. And none of the other software programs found it. Your glowing comments about Rogue Killer gave me hope. Back in the middle of 2017, my boss bought a Windows 10 machine for me. It's an Optiplex 5050 i7-770 with 16 gig of RAM, so I was expecting solid performance for business applications. It didn't take long for me to decide that my old Win7 machine was faster, at least in some ways. So I'm going to stop there and make a comment. Do you have a solid state drive? And I hope you do, because it doesn't sound like it. And if your Windows 7 system seems faster, then you really got to optimize Windows 10, or at least figure out what's slowing it down, do some more deep dive hardware analysis, and find out what's happening. He continues, this machine takes over 5 minutes to reboot and get into a usable state when I can actually load a web page. Performance is still degraded for about another 5 minutes. My Ubuntu machine at home boots in about a minute, and it is much older hardware. It's all about the hard drive. You have to have a solid state drive to maximize performance. He continues, I wasn't expecting miracles from Rogue Killer, but I was hoping it would at least fix the problem with unwanted apps. No, that's not what it's made for. It's potentially unwanted pups. You know, they call them pups, potentially unwanted programs. But full-blown unwanted apps, Rogue Killer, that's not the answer. This is for infections, Rogue Killer. At every reboot, Microsoft News, MSN Weather, and Adobe Publishing Express show up on my start menu. Windows lets me uninstall them with a right click, but they always come back. Rogue Killer didn't fix my problem, but it's worth a try. Thanks for the show, Greg. Greg, you need to analyze what is starting up in your computer. Go to Task Manager. That's right click on the taskbar. Go to Task Manager, click more details, go to Startup, and start disabling everything that's starting. Run a program to determine what hard drive is in your system. I want you to run Crystal Disk Info Portable and take a look. What is your hard drive? What speed? I'm going to guess it's going to be, based on what you've said with the Dell Optiplex, it's going to be a Western Digital Blue, which is the worst hard drive ever manufactured. And it's going to be running at 5,400 RPMs, one of the slowest hard drives. I'm willing to bet that, even though I haven't seen your system. And if it is, then I want you to go through one of the older shows that I've talked about cloning. There's free software. You got Acronis. There's lots of options. Maybe even put a solid state hard drive and do Windows 10 from scratch by yourself. It'll activate because your current Windows 10 is activated. Then reinstall your software, move your data from the hard drive. You could take your hard drive out and put it in an external enclosure or something that'll take that SATA and convert it to USB. Put a solid state drive in, download the media for the making your system for being able to install Windows 10 from scratch. And I bet you are going to have a much more pleasant experience. You got to go through control panel programs and features and take a look at all the different software that Dell put on your system that you don't need. Are all your drivers updated for your video card? Do you have the drivers updated for your motherboard? Go to Dell.com, put your service tag into the support website, and take a look at the latest drivers after you get this installed, and download the drivers that are required for the model for your Dell Optiplex 5050. You should not be experiencing what you're experiencing. And when I run into something like this with a system, The first thing I want to do is, what is running on it? What kind of hardware? And I'm really betting that it's your hard drive, and you're going to have a much better experience. And there's no software in the world that's going to solve your problem. None. This is purely a hardware issue, I believe. Once you speed up the hard drive and you optimize Windows 10 correctly, as Uncle Al put it, you got to remove all the Dell crapware. He is correct. Now, I will say this. With a Dell Optiplex, you have less crapware because that's a business-grade system, but they still put it on there. And that's why if you do Windows 10 from scratch, you are not going to have that problem. And we've seen this from manufacturers where you get their build of Windows. Now, when we blow it away and do Windows 10 from scratch, just the base install, it runs so much better. Back up your data and go through that. And Greg, let me know, did any of my suggestions help? Best way to support the show is use the Amazon link in the show notes. You support Tech Vets and the Mike Tech Show, Carrie Holzman and myself. We share that account. You have to click on the link. It'll take you to Amazon. And then anything you buy in that session only, it will give us a commission. Your price stays the same. But this is the best way to support the shows. Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com. Download that. You will love it for remote support. Again, I use that every single day. That's it. Hopefully, I will be back next Thursday. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.